Well, genius is 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration. Thomas Edison said that. Now, our first salvo this morning inside Rivers has to do with something that I've been observing for a few months now, not even days or weeks. It has to do with the kerosene business here in Port Harcourt, indeed in the Niger Delta. So what exactly needs to be done to sanitize, to clean, or to make it a bit more streamlined? That's our focus this morning. And if you have been paying attention, you'll probably notice that in the marketplaces, let's see now, on your street, yes, that's another place, and sometimes, let's see, at some mechanic workshops, some garages, people sell kerosene. Yes, they are selling kerosene. Now, what is particularly interesting is that all of this still comes even though there is a very high, and some would even argue, intense clampdown on illegal or artisanal refinery. But is that all there is to it? We are about to find out, because joining me this morning is Chibike Ozor Ejike. He is the Secretary Ipman Port Harcourt Depot Unit. Mr. Chibike, good morning to you and thank you for joining us on Hello Port Harcourt.
Good morning, Jude, and good morning, listeners.
Good morning to you. Now, we know how things have been in the past few months regarding petroleum products in Nigeria and in River State. Some would even argue that the River State area, the River State branch, has been somewhat better off than the rest of the Federation. Whenever queues tend to build up, usually the River State is among the last to experience it. Maybe that is a kudos to how the body is operating here in River State. But our focus this morning is about the kerosene business. Now, Chibike, I don't know how well you know this. I expect you to, but what exactly is going on in the kerosene business?
Thank you very much, Jude. The kerosene business is a business just like every other product in that market that we, if my members, dispense to the public, to the end user, the consumers. And as such, it is only pertinent that you bring up this issue of how it is distributed and the nitty-gritty of from the point of production to the end user. And against that background, I want to say that because of how our economy is, and I don't know where we are ranking now in the global poverty index, because I'm talking about the masses. But it is clear that most, a high proportion of our masses use this kerosene for their domestic consumption to cook. And judging from the fact that it is not because of the constraints faced by the Nigerian economy in some of the areas where we have been, they found one thing. We found out that the refineries are not working, although we have the full assurance of the NNPC that we believe that by the first quarter of next year, these refineries will be working. And as such, kerosene will become more available to consumers. But for now, in the absence of that refining, and government equally is not even importing this kerosene, for two reasons or more. The first reason being that it is not under the deregulated list. That's one of the reasons. And not just that, again, you find out that government is encouraging the gas expansion project. It is not rocket science that kerosene doesn't actually generate clean energy. Today we're talking about clean energy, green environment, ozone layer depletion, and the smoke, the emissions alone from this kerosene is something that is of a global concern all over the world. Leading nations are all trying to see if we can reduce the emission. And as such, government is trying to encourage gas. So the kerosene business is thriving. I know in Port Harcourt today, the NDP, Niger Delta Petroleum Refining Company, in Ahoda East, the Ogbelede, I know they produce kerosene.
Legally? And, they produce kerosene legally? Okay.
Of course. NDPR in Ahoda East, Ogbelede, is a river state here, just a stone throw from where you are. they refine their products, they have PMS, they have kerosene. I'm equally aware that our members lose kerosene from water, at least refinery, in Ebema. Yeah. And then again, there is OPAC refinery in Kwale. They only load the refined and marketers go there to load kerosene. Now, talking about the quantity of production might be a different thing altogether, but the issue is that we still have these private refineries that are cushioning the effect of the breakdown of our refineries and the hurdles in the government imposing for the use of general masses. So having said that, marketers will go to these refineries, pick the product, and remember, kerosene is some people have peddling license. It's the only product that you are allowed, that there is no law that says that you must sell in your filling station. Yes, you have underground tank filling station. If you want to dispense in response, fine. If you are the one that you have peddling license, you know, these people that have stoppage tanks, it is very, very legal. They can still go there, buy their kerosene, in fact, their own line of incense. Because remember, most marketers have their lines of specialty. You see a marketer that has a capital and says, okay, I want to go for PMS. If it is sending PMS consultation, if the person so chooses and says, okay, I want to do my stoppage tank business, my family business through kerosene, it is still very, very legitimate for the person to do that. And that is where, for me, I have seen the kerosene that is being consumed around. Fine, it might not be enough because the price of everything is going north, but at least there are these sources of kerosene that are cushioning the effects of the whole situation in the downstream. Let me put it that way.
Okay, all right. Now, Chibike, it's interesting. I'm sure a lot of our listeners this morning are surprised that there are, you know, refineries, private refineries, like you said, that produce kerosene locally, and they do so legally. Now, a lot of people, and I've seen this as well, have spotted, you know, some of these kerosene selling points. That you said they can sell surface tanks, so they don't need to sell in a petrol station or from a petrol station nozzle. But the question still remains then, that how come with all of that, the price of kerosene is not particularly friendly? A lot of people are struggling to buy kerosene for a liter, in some places up to 900 or even 1,000 naira within the Niger Delta.
Fine. What you're bringing up now is just simple. It is just the process of demand and supply at work. I have said here categorically that we are not refining. As in NMPC, when I say we, I mean NMPC, the government of the day is not refining because the refineries are undergoing turnaround maintenance. I hope and I believe and have been assured that by the first quarter of next year, 2023, production will begin. And this effect to be cushioned. Now today, we have just these, the river states have mentioned the NDPR, Ahoda. Yes, I agree. Judging by the number of people who uses this kerosene, it might not be enough. In that case, demand has become higher than supply. And the price will go up. We're talking market forces here. But it is still, I also want to use the opportunity to encourage the government to expedite action on the repair of the refinery. And even though we all advocate for cleaner energy in the gas expansion project, the shift, the gradient between the government is trying to ease the populace from kerosene into gas. I think government should go a bit further in making the transition, that's the language, the transition more amenable and easier for the general masses because of the economic crunch we are all facing. We all know that for you to cook with gas, to use gas to cook, you buy cylinder with the regulator, the burner, the hose, and everything. And when you look at the cost of these things, whenever you have not bought the gas, these are just what we need to use to cook with the gas. And the kerosene, like you said, you rightly said, a liter of kerosene is about 1,000 naira. or thereabout. So an average family of four or five uses a bottle of kerosene, depending on the consumption and the level of gluten in the house. And you find out that if they cook for 10 days, they have consumed 10,000 naira, which is exactly the amount of money to fill a 12.5 kg cylinder of gas. And it will still last at least for roughly a month and a couple of weeks, depending on, again, the level of gluten and the consumption of the family in question. So, but the issue is, where do these families, these masses, these suffering masses, these poor people get the bulk money to go and acquire the accessories that go with that? Or else, if man as a association and government, it's not okay science that we should all go for clean energy, which is gas. But what matters here is the transition. And therefore, I encourage the government to do better in easing this thing so that in the long run, we'll all be using gas. Mm. Because we are in third world. All this flaring that they are doing, it is money. You go look around everywhere, they are flaring gases, they are burning it. That is the very gas that we are supposed to use and make life easier for everybody. But these accessories count because the product gas definitely is much, much, much cheaper than kerosene.
Okay, so Mr. Chibike is joining me this morning. If you just joined us this morning, Secretary of IPMAN here in River State, we're talking about the kerosene business and why it seems to be the way it is and the way it can improve. We have a break coming up shortly in just about 3 minutes. But let me stick with you, Mr. Chibike, as we talk about this kerosene thing. Now, yes, you just mentioned that the accessories. Now, what can the government do to make the accessories available so that more Nigerians can use gas? You mentioned gas cylinders. By the time you get the head of the cylinder, the valve, the hose,
the regulator,
it seems to be a bit of a task. But is there enough sensitization to, in quotes, the more common masses about how cheap gas can be?
Actually, that is what we are saying the same thing. These accessories cost a lump sum. But by virtue of how the prices keep skyrocketing every day, I cannot even categorically tell you this is how much the cylinder is doing for or the regulator or the host. But I know that as this gas is expanding, we should encourage government or government set up a committee to look into how to make this thing. Even if it means maybe probably a potential gas user, potential because they're not already using, can be made available to the person, and as he's buying the gas, he'll stay instrumentally until the time comes when the lower taxes will become his own. But when you tell the person to bring that one as a lump sum, maybe it might be up to 40 or 50, I don't know, I don't want to throw out figures out there because I don't sell that accessory. But whatever is the sum, these people find it hard to acquire it as a unit, keep it, and then begin to buy gas. Gas is cheap, and it's cleaner energy. But that nonetheless, the final rate will begin to produce. Once we begin to produce, kerosene will be part of the byproduct once we begin to partially distillate with a specification that is safe for domestic consumption.
Okay, all right. Well, we know we have very limited time with you. In fact, we have a break, like I said, coming up in now a minute and a half. But I'd like to take a question here. WhatsApp number is 0809-030-6416. 0809-030-6416. That's where you find us on WhatsApp. Now, a very interesting question just popped up. It says, good morning. Please ask your guest. If he says that gas is cheaper and it's just the accessories, can't the government give out subsidies for these bottles? Can't we have locally made bottles that can be sold to everyday Nigerians? I have 1 minute for you, sir.
Yes, the listener is very, very correct. But it will have to be a collective effort to make our voice heard by the government. That is the best way to do it. Subsidizing accessories, give it to the discounted prices. If we have been paying subsidy, all this while on petroleum products. And this one makes our environment be cleaner. And the suffering will be so much ameliorated among the general populace and the masses. I think I agree with the question that it's not rocket science. What now behoves us is what measures can we put in place to get the government to listen to us and see reason with our argument that they should come in to subsidize these things to ameliorate. But it still very obvious that gas is much, much cheaper than kerosene, and we have a cleaner environment.
All right, GBK, we're going to let you go for a few minutes. We have a break. We'll get back to you and now open the phone lines fully for the listeners to interact and engage with you when we return. Thank you very much. All right, so there you have it. So it's all about the kerosene business inside Port Harcourt. How much are you buying kerosene now? If you or those around you use kerosene regularly, do they know that gas is cheaper? Can they afford to buy the cylinders and the hoses? When we come back, more.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Yes, 27 minutes to the top of the hour. Welcome back. My name is Jude Omamigbe. This morning, we're looking at the kerosene business in Port Harcourt and in general, the Niger Delta. Yes, it is a bedrock. It is a hub of the economy in this country. Yes, we do know that the country has, and the government of the country, rather, has been actively, according to them, actively diversifying the economy of the country, making it not just a monodependent economy, but more multifaceted. But whilst that is still on, whilst the transition has begun, as more and more young people are using, you know, the internet to make money, people are going to production, we're talking about, you know, leather and all of that, there's still the all-important need of cooking. And how is cooking being carried out? Well, by and large, it is being carried out by the use of kerosene stoves. Now, there's a big problem. A lot of people don't buy kerosene from the petrol stations any longer. A lot of you, particularly in Port Harcourt, Choba Junction, Rumokoro Junction, inside Ozuoba, Rumokuta Market, and also Rumola Market at the junction, I've seen some people with jerrycans in front of their stores selling kerosene. Now, the question has always been, oh, is it illegally refined kerosene? No one actually knows. But some, most likely, are illegally refined. But if you've been paying attention, you find out that there are some private refiners that actually produce the kerosene that is in use. My guest this morning, Chibike Ozoike, has been trying his best to explain why the business is like that here in River State and in Niger Delta. Now, my guest once again, Chibike Ozoike, is the secretary, Ipman Port Harcourt Depot Unit. Now, we'll open the phone lines and then we'll get to hear from you. Ask him questions. There are some messages here. I will read them, share them with him this morning. Welcome once again to Hello Port Harcourt. The numbers to call, 070-0923-0923, 070-0923-0923. We also have 0817-7923-0002, 0817-923-0003, and 0817-923-0007. Please be advised.
The views and opinions shared on this program do not represent the position of Nigeria Info FM. Nigeria Info, let's talk.
Mr. Chibike, good morning once again, and thank you for sticking with us.
Good morning, Jordan. Thank you very much.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to go straight to our WhatsApp platform where we have a number of questions and we hope to engage you before our time runs out. Hello, Jude says, how can your guests say gas is cheaper? It is only cheaper when they stop flaring gas that could have been converted to our use. The accessories are very expensive. A new empty bottle is about 25 to 30,000 naira, while a used one is between 15 to 20,000. The regulator goes between 6 to 7,000. The hose, about 500 naira per yard. And it depends on how many yards to be used. When you buy gas at about 10,000 naira that lasts you a month, these prices keep increasing daily. This is the reality on ground. So tell me, how is gas cheaper? Rita in Woji is asking. Mr. Chibuike, over to you.
Rita, obviously, I wouldn't know. Maybe you did not join the program at the beginning. Yes, I want to reiterate that gas is much, much, much cheaper. And I thank you for collaborating what I said about the prices, because I think I dropped a figure and we do it, because I can't actually say this is how much. But you are right. People in that business has got 25,000 or used ones, 15K, regulator, and every other thing. Then you're looking at roughly 45,000 naira without putting in the burner itself, which might be an oven or a simple tabletop burner. But it is still very, very clear that a liter of kerosene costs 1,000 naira or 900 naira. Whereas, and if we use it at the rate of a bottle a day for 10 days, you have spent 10,000 naira. And that is exactly the amount you use to fill a 12.5 kg cylinder of gas. So we are not talking about the stove, the kerosene stove, and the gas accessories, which one is cheaper. No, that is not the issue. The issue is the substance, the product, the comparison between kerosene and gas, which one is cheaper. Gas is 3 times more cheaper than kerosene. It's not rocket science. So what we're talking about is how does the government make these accessories cheaper to obtain for the public. That's what we are saying here. And just as for the flaring, we are talking about, if those flaring can be brought to the bare minimum or stopped completely, it will even get much more cheaper again. I mean, the gas will, over whatever rate is going at, it will still go down much more, because we now have much gas to be available. And remember, we have LNG, so it encourages, it boosts our domestic industry, creates more jobs, and but there's so much we have to gain by going gas. But the constraint is just that little barrier of getting the accessories. So yes, I still say that gas is much cheaper than kerosene, much, much cheaper. And if we stop the flaring, it's going to go way down again, much cheaper.
Okay. All right, Nigel by 3, good morning to you. Welcome.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, please.
Okay, my name is Sisi. I'm calling from Obibu.
Welcome.
Thank you. I listened to your guest, and I have about two questions. One, you said yes, this government is not trying, and that they are not also important. What is at the back of their mind for the masses? I heard him say that they are private refiners.
Oh dear. Hello. Oh dear. Hello. Hello, sir. Okay. All right. Mr. Chibuike.
Yeah.
I don't know if you got to hear his opening salvo.
Yes, I got to. Let me quickly react to. I got to some of the things he's trying to say, and I think I understand where it's coming from. Yes, I said that we are not importing. I didn't just say it. We all know. He knows we are not importing because of the constraints. Of course, it's not deregulated. The kerosene per se, and as far as I'm not working. But why if there is a crunch is because the refinery broke down while we are trying to have a seamless in from kerosene to gas. That was the plan or the proposal for the government. But because the refinery stopped working, there is now the market is complicated, because now we don't have enough kerosene in circulation until the first quarter of 2023, when the refineries will come back into operation. At that point, there will be enough kerosene for everybody. And if people begin to key into the green project and the economic advantage that is deeper than kerosene, it will be seamless. What we are discussing here is the hardship from the sudden crunch, because we are not refineries, the refineries are not maintenance, and there's not much gas in circulation. I don't know if that's what I was able to get from his.
He went on to state, wanted to be very sure of what you mentioned about the importation of kerosene and the like. 92.3, hello, Port Harcourt. Good morning, please.
Yeah, bro, Jude, good morning.
Good morning, welcome.
Thank you. Can I have your guest to mention kerosene transition to gas usage?
Yes.
And so I want to ask your guest, or let me say, was it that he's not aware that there are people that live in the rural and interior areas. They don't even have gas centers where they can buy the gas. It's difficult for them to get 1,000 naira within 1 month. Then how would they buy the gas? Or is it concluding based on people that live in the urban, why the rural area people are forgotten? Then if government, we are to be able to be producing or to be providing kerosene, these people in the rural area would have taken like 500 naira to go and buy a bottle. So in all these arrangements that they do not favor the citizens, how are those in the rural and the interior area survive? Bro Jude, I'm concluding by saying that's why I see some of all these discussions as offensive discussions in the media. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Chibuke, very, very salient points there from that caller.
Yes, I really appreciate the point you raised, but let me remind him that he should take the conscience of the people in the rural area. Most of them use firewood. You understand? Everybody is trying to survive. So I don't know where his offense is coming from. That yes, there are poor masses, there are people who are living in the rural areas who probably cannot afford a gas. Now there is no stampede. There is no law that says that everybody must transition to gas. Government is very liberal in this. You are only advised, you are only encouraged, because you must cook, life must go on. Mm-hmm. In that area, if you don't have that, there are some people that can't even afford kerosene, because kerosene is more expensive, gas is cheaper. People still use firewood, and that firewood, in the rural area, they don't even buy it. Some of them will just go to the bush, and they still cook. Yes, some of them are degrading the environment. They are depleting our ozone layer. There's emotion everywhere. Global warming is on the increase. We know that. But it is only through government installations, advocacy programs, advice, in using the media, like you do now using the radio, you probably bring up jingles to sensitize and enlighten the public on this. So my dear brother, who is not too fine the discussion report, please, I will advise that you change your position and understand that nobody is being harassed for whatever means of cooking he has adapted to, but based on his pocket or his budget and resources. I don't know if I answered that, but we are all encouraged to go to gas.
Okay, all right. Now, on WhatsApp, Jude, the long and short story of the kerosene and other petroleum products is that the major refineries and modular refineries are not functioning at optimal levels due to sabotage by corrupt petroleum dealers and government of functionaries who are benefiting from the dirty deals. That's from John Waogu sending that this morning. This one here says, hello, Jude, good morning. Please ask your guest. Now, if it's all about these smaller refineries, why then are they not made to sell these petroleum products, particularly kerosene, at the petrol pumps?
Okay. The modular refineries will keep on coming into existence and production as long as the companies that own them apply for and get the necessary government licenses to operate. But that is long term. Like I said, we already have refineries that are in a bad shape. And as such, it is so much faster for us to repair the existing refineries, which is being done now. At least we are all aware that there's some other maintenance going on in Port Harcourt refinery and some other refineries. And if they come into production, yes, they are okay. Government will still encourage if the listener or the questioner have interest in the refinery, he will apply to NFC and DPR and get the necessary documentation, and they will give him that. They will subsidize the market. They make it so much easier for you and to encourage growth in that sector. And you have mentioned like twice here about illegal oil bunkering, illegal kerosene sources, which I have been silent about, because for me, it is hearsay. I hear that such people exist, but I am not an authority on that. If man does not encourage illegal oil bunkering. If man have aligned themselves with government, who have set up committees and task forces and whatever to clamp down. So if this office exists, for me it is clear. I cannot substantiate those claims. I cannot affirm to them. But what the things I'm saying here are the things I can say on good authority as the Secretary of IBMAN and as a stakeholder in the industry.
Okay, but the message wants to find out that why then, if like you said, there are private refineries that at least are producing some kerosene to ameliorate the dire situation, why then are they not impressed upon to sell at the pumps, whoever the marketers are?
Because I said that kerosene is the only product that the government issues peddling license on. That is the only product that you can sell in Suffolk Bank. And it is legitimate. You have the approval to sell in surplus tank. So as such, anybody who wants to trade in kerosene, you are not bound by law to force him to go and invest in the pumps. I don't know if what I'm telling you is a law. There is nothing illegal about selling in surplus. Have you ever seen any tax force arresting people selling kerosene in surplus tank and drums? No, because there's a federal license for it. So, and business and the discretion of the owner of the business. So, if everybody who is loading from this refinery chooses to sell in certain stands, there's no law against that. The law is very clear.
Okay, fine.
But they have the license to do that.
So, no, I know of some surface tanks within the Port Harcourt metropolis, right? And now that you're sharing this information, I'm sure a lot of people are nodding their heads in affirmation. Yes, if you sell at a surface tank, all you need is a peddling license. But, Mr. Chibike, the real issue for lots of, I think where this person is coming from, is how come those people who sell at the markets, you know, are doing so openly? Are those people, in quotes, operating a surface tank when they're selling jerry cans and nylon bags and things like that? Is that part of the surface tank selling procedure?
Fine. The surface tanks is like in parentheses containing vessels that are not in the filling station. These tanks come in various sizes and shapes. I remember the product will always end up in a small gallon, in a bottle, or in a plastic, these PVC cans, onwards to the stove. So it doesn't matter the container in which it is. I thought what you should be talking about is the source. Was it from the refinery? I mentioned the refinery here to tell you that I am speaking on good authority. FDPR, OPAC, and WaterSmith. My members hearing me can attest to the fact that they all live in these places. So if there is an infiltration from those illegal means, I said again, I am not an authority on that. And those ones will still need to be picked up because they are engaging in illegal bunkering. If these, like the are not from legitimate sources, and that is the duty of government, which they are currently doing anyway, because I know that even Governor SLRP, by Superintendent Wike, even set up his own state empowered tax force to clamp down on illegal oil bunkering.
Okay. All right, thank you. Thank you very much. Once again, the number's call 070-0923-0923. I have just about 3 minutes. 070-0923-0923. We also have 0817-923-0002. 0817-923-0003. 0817-923-0007. My guest this morning is the Secretary of IBMAN, Port Harcourt Rivers Depot Unit. And we've been talking about the kerosene business here in the state. And going across the Niger Delta, Chibike Ozoejike has been my guest. Now, one more message to you, Mr. Chibike, before we wrap up this morning. Now, Oyin Denfa from Bayelsa says, I buy a kilogram of gas for 1,000 naira here in Bayelsa. For kerosene, for almost 5 years now, no petrol station is selling it. So that's how I use my gas. 1 kilogram of gas is 1,000 naira. Now, you remember, sir, that I think it's the Nigerian Bureau of Statistics made mention that the price of gas, LPG, within the past 12 months has increased by nearly 80%. So from about 500 naira or so per kilogram, some places are selling at 750 and all of that in Port Harcourt. Now, they have stated that it is the, in quotes, force of demand on supply, the Ukraine war, and all those things that's making the pressure on the gas supply, you know, that expensive. Can you say, do you have any authority to say that maybe after the refinery start working, that price will come down?
Definitely. Definitely, because just like you said, the Ukraine war has put a strain on the global oil market. We appreciate that. And for my brother, who is buying a gas at 1,000 naira, yes, let's assume in Bayelsa that's what he's going for. It will still, he's still spending roughly 12,000 naira to fill up a bottle of gas. And I don't know how many there are in that family, but I bet him that it must stay at least a month. But if you spend 12,000 naira on kerosene, you will burn it for 10 to 12 days. So when these refineries start working, definitely the people who are supplying to the, who are selling kerosene at 1,000 naira must come down because they cannot compete with the government. And there will be a surplus of that kerosene, and then supply will begin to surpass demand.
Okay. All right. Yes. Well, Mr. Chibike, thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you for the insights. And obviously, some of the revelations, I'm not surprised. I've gotten at least five messages talking about them not knowing of these refineries that locally produce kerosene. Thank you very much for sharing that with the general public this morning.
Thank you very much. And I agree with my listeners.
All right. Thank you very much. So there we have it. Our opening salvo this morning is about the kerosene business here in River State, in Port Harcourt. People have been talking about the difficulty in getting kerosene and how much it has increased. I personally have had an experience watching, observing in the past few months. So it's been a pleasure to have heard some of these things. But it still does not negate that a lot of people are not pleased with what is going on, and the government should do more to ameliorate the situation here, particularly in the Niger Delta.